This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونصلي ونسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. First of all, my dear sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's an absolute honor and pleasure to be here amongst you. Alhamdulillah, I can't actually see anyone here, but I know you're there. Alhamdulillah. And may Allah reward you for your very kind and generous introduction. I ask Allah Ta'ala to, you know, that whatever we say today, you know, will benefit someone here, bi-ithnillah Ta'ala. And, you know, we're here to help each other and support each other, inshallah, as sisters in Islam across the world, inshallah. So look, basically the topic that I had in mind to talk to you about is 10 steps to empowering ourselves as Muslim women. Now, I'm sure that many of you, you know, you've heard the talk about female empowerment and, talk about raising our standards as Muslim women, right? Now, of course, as believers, we should always be, you know, concerned about looking for ways to, you know, further strengthen ourselves and raise our standards as Muslim women, as women from this ummah, right? But in saying that, it's also very important that we also never lose sight of working within the bounds of the Sharia in order to do that, right? So we want to be balanced in our approach. So we need to realize that it's never empowering to throw away your Islamic principles and compromise your Islamic values. Okay, so if that's what people are calling to with their female empowerment, that's something that we would be against, okay? Because obviously whoever, you know, compromises their values, in fact, what you've done, you've handed over your power to someone else, right? So instead of being an abd to Allah, instead of being, you know, a servant to Allah Azza wa Jal, you've ended up basically serving the creation, right? So that's why what I wanted to, you know, share with you today are just 10 ways, 10 simple ways, inshallah, that we can empower ourselves. And these 10 ways I'm going to share with you are basically, you know, these are all ways that we can draw, like they're teachings from Islam. You know, it's about the problem we have often is we don't know how to draw upon Islamic teachings, okay? But what we have in Islam is actually more than enough to empower ourselves as women, subhanAllah. So first of all, starting off, right, number one, what is the first, step towards empowering ourselves? First of all, it's about changing our mindset, right? We have to realize that ultimately we are the ones who are responsible to work on uplifting ourselves. Now, Allah Ta'ala makes that very clear in the Quran. He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ, right? That Allah Ta'ala does not change a people until they change themselves. All right, so he shows us that, you know, that works both ways. You know, if we want to raise our level, if we want to move forward as women, we need to realize that that will not happen unless we work on changing ourselves first, okay? And we all know that a lot of people like to fall into, you know, let's call it the victim mentality, right? Where you'll often hear people wanting to blame others for why they're not getting ahead or for what's holding them back. And, you know, sometimes you'll hear people say, you know, it's all the men's fault. This is why, you know, we're not getting ahead as women or something like that, right? Look, at the end of the day, whatever the situation is, we have to realize that once you fall into that victim mentality of why you're not getting anywhere, it's not going to help you move forward, okay? So the number one thing we need to be focusing on is asking ourselves, what can we personally do to help change our situation for the better, all right? So it's always about looking inward and trying to, you know, use your inner resources, you know, to opening up, you know, ways to find, yani, how can I say to you, to find that way to move forward. Okay, it's about And also, of course, making dua and asking Allah Ta'ala to guide you to that as well, right? It's about it's a number of things you do. Looking inward, first of all, to see what you can do to move forward, but then asking Allah Ta'ala to guide you to do that. And then, of course, no doubt, seeking advice from others as well. Trustworthy people around you, sincere people as well, can help you to work out what you need to do also to move forward, okay? All right. The second thing that I think it's really important is that we need to reclaim the true narrative that Allah Ta'ala, you know, has given us of what it means to be a Muslim woman, right? Now, one of the best ways to do that is to simply look at all the examples that Allah Ta'ala gave us of female role models, right? You look throughout history and think about all those role models that Allah gave us, and you'll see that there's not one of them except they were like pinnacles of strength, bravery, and iman, right? If you reflect upon the stories of the likes of, you know, Khadija radiallahu anha, or Sumaya, or Salama, Aisha, you know, Nusayba bin Ka'b, right? SubhanAllah, just reflect on their personalities. These are not weak women, sisters. These were the strongest of women, right? You know, ask yourself, who was the first woman, who was the first person to accept Islam, right? It was a woman. Who was the first martyr in Islam? It was a woman, right? Who was the one who was there for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and supported him in his time of greatest vulnerability? Who was the one who stood in the battlefield defending the Messenger of Allah when many of the ones who were supposed to be protecting him had run away? Or the one who counseled the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when men were reluctant to, you know, follow what he was asking them? You know, we see Salama, she was the one who stepped up, right? So in all of these situations, we see, subhanAllah, it was actually women who stepped up for these different roles. So we need to realize that there's a reason why Allah Ta'ala chose to give us strong and powerful female role models, right? And it's because he wants us, sisters, to emulate their example, you know, by adopting that same strength that they had, that same level of iman that they had. Okay, this is what we should be focusing on. And this is why it's very important that we familiarize ourselves with their stories, right? We need to read the stories of the Sahabiyat, read the stories of you know, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then reflect on the characteristics that they had. You know, what was it that made them reach such high levels? You know, that they became from the greatest role models of our ummah. All right, when we you know, ponder on that, this is what helps us to, you know, emulate their examples, inshallah. All right, the third point towards, inshallah, empowering ourselves, we have to realize that seeking knowledge is one of the greatest ways of empowering oneself. You know, Allah Ta'ala in the Quran, he tells us, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. So Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, say that, you know, say is the one who knows like the one who does not know, right? So Allah Ta'ala shows us that, you know, that it's through knowledge, this is what raises a person, okay? Knowledge is what raises a person. And so what raises the standards of the ummah is when they raise their standards in knowledge. So therefore, if we want to, you know, if we're really interested in empowering and raising the standards of the women of this ummah, then realize it can only happen through them increasing in knowledge. So if you want to be strong in your identity as a Muslimah, you know, if you want to feel confident, you know, in raising your voice against, you know, dhulm and injustice, then you need to have strong knowledge. And in particular, the knowledge I'm speaking about here is the knowledge of your deen. This is the most powerful knowledge on earth, right? The knowledge of one's deen. If you look at Aisha radiallahu anha, you know, what was it that gave her that leverage to be able to have the confidence to speak up for the haq, you know, and not worry about what other people would think about her? It was her ilm, right? Her knowledge. And so many times you'll see how Aisha radiallahu anha, She would even fearlessly correct statements said by some of the heads of Sahaba. You know, one time Aisha radiallahu anha, for example, she heard Abdullah ibn Umar. He was, you know, saying that the women should undo their braids or undo their plaits when they do ghusl. Okay, and so subhanAllah, she commented on, she said, you know, this is so strange that Ibn Umar is saying such a thing, you know. He's telling women to undo their braids when they do ghusl. And subhanAllah, she was saying, why doesn't he tell them to shave their heads? Because it's, you know, how difficult it is for women every time they have to, you know, take ghusl from janaba, that they have to undo their braids. It's going to be very difficult for them, right? And then she says that, you know, the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and myself used to do ghusl using one vessel, and never did I pour more than, you know, three handfuls of water over my head. You know, pouring the water over her head three times, right? And so what I'm showing you here is that when you have that knowledge, because sometimes, unfortunately, when we don't have knowledge of our deen, this is unfortunately one of the ways that you can get taken advantage of very often, right? I'm saying this from the perspective of even coming from a revert background. Like, many times, the ones who get taken advantage of the most are the ones who lack the knowledge, because people can easily manipulate you into believing, you know, certain things, and you can sometimes forego your rights, even forego your Islamic rights, all because you didn't have the knowledge, you know, and then therefore you find yourself in what we can call a disempowering situation, right? All because you lack that knowledge. And so the ones who get taken advantage of the most are the ones who don't have the knowledge to be able to stand up for themselves, right? It's so easy to take advantage of someone when they don't have knowledge. And, you know, as I said, you can get pushed into accepting things that you shouldn't have to accept. So the subhanAllah, so just realize that there's a vulnerability that comes when you don't have the knowledge. But in saying this too, it's not just Islamic knowledge. Islamic knowledge is not the only knowledge, but it is the most important knowledge, right? But besides that, you should also try to, you know, strengthen yourself with all types of knowledge. It's of course, you know, it's beneficial to, you know, seek knowledge in this dunya of beneficial things that, you know, that can lead to basically helping you. Like, for example, unfortunately, we're living in a time where there's a lot of marriage breakdown, right? There's a lot of unfortunate, you know, divorce that's happening around the world. Like, I mean, it doesn't matter what country you look at. And so therefore, for women in particular, you know, it's very advisable for them to have something else on the side, just in case, you know, situations change. You know, to seek some sort of education for yourself is definitely something that, you know, it's like a backup for you if things don't work out, you know what I mean? So I'm just saying to you that, you know, any type of knowledge, but especially Islamic knowledge, this is the way also for us to strengthen ourselves, right? The fourth point that I wanted to mention is knowing your own worth. Okay, this is another thing that often weakens a lot of women, right? A lot of women don't know their own worth, right? Their self-worth. They lack self-esteem often. They don't know their true, you know, they can't recognize their true value, their true qualities, you know, the strengths they have. And, you know, when you don't know your self-worth, when you don't really, you know, value yourself for who you are, then again, you can often, you know, you may just accept people putting you down, for example, or, you know, demeaning you, okay, because you don't think you deserve better, right? So this is why, you know, working on your self-esteem, you know, working on knowing your self-worth and being able to recognize your self-worth, it's really important to do that, because it helps you also to place healthy boundaries for what you will accept and won't accept for yourself. Okay, sisters? So this is why what I normally advise sisters to is to, like, you know, see yourself as like a project that you need to be continually working on, right? All throughout life, realize there's always something else that you need to work out with yourself, right? Because we all have weaknesses. So it's really important for us to be able to pinpoint what our weaknesses are and try to work on those, right? Now, if we look at a hadith in which, you know, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he tells us that al-mu'minul qawi, right? The strong mu'min, khayrun wa ahabbu ilallahi min al-mu'minul da'if. Even though they both love to Allah. So that the strong mu'min is better and more loved to Allah than the weak mu'min, even though they both love to Allah. Both all believers are loved to Allah, right? But the strong one is all more loved to Allah Ta'ala. And so what we take out of this hadith is we want to try to make ourselves into that strong mu'min. This should be our goal, right? Trying to make ourselves into a stronger mu'min in different ways. I'm not just in your iman. Yes, definitely. Strengthening your iman is one of the ways to make yourself into a strong mu'min. But besides that as well, like working on your personal weaknesses, you know, face your individual weakness and then go and educate yourself and seek support for others for how you can overcome those personal weaknesses, right? Like, let me give you some examples. Like a lot of women, this is a very common weakness that many women have when they're young, especially, they can often be quite passive, you know, like they just give up their needs. They never tell anybody, like they'll just be silent. They'll never, you know, really communicate what is important for them, you know. But then what happens is as women get older, they kind of build up a type of frustration because they've always neglected themselves. They've always allowed themselves just to be, you know, never really communicated what they wanted, right? And then they get this kind of resentment that builds up sometimes, right? And then they end up becoming aggressive and taking it out on everybody around them. And then everyone's wondering what happened to her, you know? So this is why actually it's really important to, for example, work on how to be assertive. Okay, this is something that a lot of women have problem with, you know, not being aggressive, not being passive, but finding that middle ground in being able to, you know, communicate with manners, with respect, you know, what your needs are, but not like covering up everything and just never saying to anyone, you know, and denying yourself, like denying what you really want. Okay, this is not a healthy way to live your life. So that's just an example of how we can sometimes have, you know, these weaknesses, and, you know, and these are things we need to try to work on and bolster ourselves up and make ourselves stronger, you know, with these different weaknesses. All right. So the next thing I wanted to mention was, it's really important that we also realize that each of us has a unique role in the Ummah. All right. So, you know, every believer is special to Allah. Okay, every believer is special to Allah Azza wa Jal. And every one of us, you know, Allah Ta'ala has given us something. He's given us certain talents. He's given us certain skills. And he wants us to use those skills and talents that he's given you to achieve your higher purpose in this dunya, right? Now, if you go and study the lives of the wives of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, for example, you'll see how each of them had their own unique personality, and they had their own impact, their own individual impact on the Ummah. Okay, each one's different. Like Aisha's not like Khadija. Khadija's not like Salama, for example, right? So similarly, each of us here has something unique to us that Allah's given us. But what we need to do, our job is to try to find out what it is, you know, what are those talents? What are those things we like to do that we can use, right, to leave our own personal legacy in this dunya? Right now, how do you do that? How do you go about doing that? Well, first of all, have a look at what you love doing, right? What are some of the things that you love to do? What are some of the things that you're good at, right? And then use those things. Think about how you could use those skills or those talents, you know, to benefit others and to strive in the path of Allah Ta'ala, right? And to seek Jannah through those talents. So an example here is like, you know, don't just study your degree at uni to have a great career, you know, find a way to use your degree to serve the Ummah of Al-Islam, right? Don't just raise your child to be a doctor or an engineer, like a lot of people do. Raise your child to be a role model and a leader for this Ummah. Okay, so the problem is we often don't think high enough with, you know, with what we're doing. So, you know, look at whatever blessings that Allah Ta'ala has given you. Look at whatever skills or talents Allah has given you. And then use those, you know, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, for, you know, for striving for Allah. Yeah, I mean, I've myself known a lot of mothers, for example, who, you know, mothers in particular, like someone who's a mother, they're always good at organizing. Okay, all those years of organizing a household and children, they get a lot of skills through doing that, right? So then you'll find a lot of those mothers become great at, you know, getting involved in, you know, projects or, you know, fundraising or, you know, volunteering in charity organizations, stuff like that. Or someone who's good with kids, for example, you know, go on to become a teacher or, you know, getting involved in you know, helping with teaching children, for example, right? Same thing with cooking. Like some sisters love cooking. And, you know, I've seen sisters like that go on and, you know, cook for like, they go on and cook for like Islamic events or, you know, just feeding Muslims in general. Right. Another thing is writing. Mashallah, some people are very talented in writing. I mean, those people can work on, for example, writing, and for example, defending Islam, for example, or defending the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, using your skills, sisters, whatever skills you have, use them. Use them for Islam. Use them for the Ummah. So this is why it's important, you know, also to, you know, keep on asking Allah Ta'ala to guide you towards finding your higher purpose in this world. And just realize that it's only when you begin to live your life using what you've been given, you know, using the talents you've been given by Allah for the sake of Allah, that's when you begin to taste halawatul iman. That's when you begin to taste, you know, the sweetness that Allah is going to put in your heart that comes through living your life for Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. All right, the sixth point that I want to mention is it's really important that we avoid blaming our circumstances for why we can't achieve our goals, right? So two main reasons that a lot of people stop moving forward in their lives is because they blame their circumstances for why they can't do what they want, or due to limiting beliefs about themselves too. They think that they won't be able to achieve, right? Now, let me just give you some examples. If you think about Aisha radiallahu anha, for example, right? I mean, subhanAllah, she actually lived for 47 years as a widow. And she had no children of her own, right? Now, she could have easily lived her life feeling sorry for herself. But instead, we find that she dedicated her life and became the greatest female scholar in the history of Al-Islam. Okay, another example is Salama radiallahu anha. You know, she was a mother who, you know, she was very busy with her children, and, you know, she didn't start seeking knowledge until she was in her 30s. Now, she could have said, I'm too old, I'm too busy, but instead we find that she went on to become the greatest from the narrators of a hadith from the women after Aisha radiallahu anha. And she became one of the greatest faqihats, you know, from the female jurists in the whole of Medina. Okay, so what I'm trying to say here is it's not about your limitations, right? Rather, it's about what you make out of your individual circumstances. Okay, we have to stop blaming our environment, blaming what we don't have, and just work with what we do have. And, you know, one of the empowering messages that Islam teaches us is to, you know, take control of your life and be proactive in changing your situation for the better, right? Even if that means just taking one step, you know, small steps towards that change. If you look at one hadith in which, you know, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he tells us, the that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells us that ihris ala ma yanfa'uk. So the Messenger of Allah tells us, focus on that which will benefit you or which benefits you. Wasta'in billah, and seek the help of Allah. Wala ta'jaz, and do not lose hope, and do not feel incapable, right? No matter whatever you're able to do, you just do it. You focus on what you can do. You focus on what benefits you. You seek the help of Allah Ta'ala, and you don't feel hopeless, right? And then he tells us, وَإِنْ أَصَابَكَ شَيْءٌ فَلَا تَقُلْ لَوْ أَنِّي فَعَلْتُ كَانَ كَذَا وَكَذَا. Like, if things don't work out the way you're expecting, then don't say, if only I did such and such, it would have been such and such, right? Rather say, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ. Say what Allah Ta'ala destined happened, and you know what he willed is what, you know, was the outcome, right? Because once you start saying, if only I did such and such, if only it was like this such and such, that's what opens a door of shaitan to you. And it just causes you to have, you know, anxiety. It causes you to feel depressed. And subhanAllah, feeling depressed and feeling, you know, regretting the past, you know, having anxiety, all of that, it does not help you to move forward. Okay. All right. We come to the seventh point that I want to mention. So the seventh point for how we can empower ourselves, inshallah, is avoiding comparison. Okay. Because all comparison does is it prevents you from moving forward in your own life and fulfilling your own potential. Now, at this time we're living in, one of the hardest challenges that we are facing, especially as women, is there's so much pressure on us to somehow try to be the best in everything. You know, especially now with, you know, social media, we're constantly comparing ourselves to what other women seem to be doing. You know, it's like this woman, you know, she's got her business. This one has, you know, she's written all these books. This one's a public figure. And so, subhanAllah, you just look at what you're doing and you might feel that what you're doing is just totally worthless, because what am I doing in comparison to what all these, you know, amazing women are doing out there, right? So, you know, we need to remember that ultimate success is success in akhirah, right? And so when it comes to Allah Azza wa Jal, it's not about how much you do, but what it's about how sincerely and perfectly you strive to do it. You know, so that's why, you know, you might be doing something which, you know, it might seem far less than what's being done by someone else, but to Allah Azza wa Jal, it could be far greater and so much heavier in his scale, right? An example of this is, you know, there was a lady who lived at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who, you know, subhanAllah, she didn't do anything outstanding in the way of, you know, prayers and fasting or anything like that. And, you know, nobody saw her as being someone who was very important, but yet we see how, subhanAllah, she became a woman of Jannah walking on the earth just due to how sincere she was in remaining patient with, you know, with the sickness that Allah Ta'ala had tested her with. Like, Allah Ta'ala tested her with epilepsy, where she would have, you know, these fits. And subhanAllah, one time it happened, and, you know, she asked the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, to pray for me, you know, pray for me, Ya Rasulullah, that this wouldn't happen to me. And he said, if you wish, I can pray for Allah to remove it. Or if you wish, you can remain patient and, you know, and I guarantee Jannah for you. And so she said, Ya Rasulullah, you know, I wish for Jannah, but just ask Allah Ta'ala that when I have those fits, that I don't become uncovered. You know, she was so worried about her modesty. And, you know, and subhanAllah, later on, you know, after the passing of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one time, you know, Ibn Abbas, he said to Atta, who is from the Tabi'een, and Ibn Abbas is from Sahaba, like, you know, and he said to him, shall I not show you a woman from Jannah? And Atta said, yes, you know, show me who that woman is. And he said, you see that simple woman over there, you know, just a simple woman. He said, she is a woman, you know, of Jannah, you know, walking on the face of this earth, subhanAllah, all because of her, all because just her deed of remaining patient with, you know, what Allah Ta'ala had destined for her or written for her of that sickness, you know, and that she sought Jannah, she was, you know, seeking Jannah through her sickness. So what I'm trying to say is that, you know, it could be the care that you're giving for your special needs child, for example, or it could be the care that you're giving your elderly parent, or it could be, you know, the sincere service you're providing to your family and children, that that's the deed that Allah Ta'ala causes for you to enter into the highest levels of Jannah. So it's not about being, you know, the most popular or the most recognized for what you do, because, you know, in the end, the only thing that's going to truly matter when you leave this life are the deeds that you did with ikhlas, you know, with sincerity for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, right? So that's why focusing on making your number one goal in this dunya to be for Allah alone, right? This is what frees you from the enslavement of, you know, comparing yourself to what others are doing. And because that comparing yourself only holds you back from, you know, from moving forward and achieving your goals. Okay. So this is what I'm saying to you, sisters. This is the seventh point that I want to mention about how it's really important that we don't fall into comparing ourselves, because it actually only holds you back. Now, the next point is, you know, is that really your whole focus, the greatest way to empower yourself, from the greatest ways to empower yourself, is to make your whole life centered around pleasing Allah alone. Like, that should be your number one focus in everything you do, right? And the reason why this is one of the most empowering principles you could adopt is because it frees you from the feeling of always needing to please others. Like, what is one of the reasons why a lot of people are held back? Because they're always worried about what people are going to think about them. They just live their life always, you know, trying to, basically being a people pleaser, you know? And what we're seeing today, what we're seeing a lot of the time today, is that a lot of people even end up compromising their Islamic values and even practicing their deen, all because, you know, it's all about, you know, gaining that popularity or something like that, right? And getting ahead in dunya. And, you know, so subhanAllah, it might look to you like they're getting ahead, but in reality, once a person has, you know, basically sold themselves to pleasing other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is something that will ultimately weaken you and cause people's, you know, to lose respect for you ultimately, right? There's a hadith in At-Tirmidhi, Aisha radiallahu anha reports it. She says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us that manil tamasa ridallahi bisakhatin nas, right? Whoever seeks to please Allah by displeasing the people, right? Radiallahu anhu wa ardan nasa an, and that Allah will be pleased with that person and he will cause the people to be pleased. So in other words, sometimes Allah's going to test you in this dunya, right? Sometimes Allah's going to test you to see who is the, you know, who do you value the most? Is it Allah or is it the people? Okay. So what the Messenger of Allah was telling us in this hadith is that whoever seeks to please Allah, and by doing so, it's going to cause people to become displeased with them, then if they go ahead and do that, then Allah will be pleased with them, and ultimately the people will become pleased with them ultimately too. Right? Well, malil tamasa ridon nas bi sakhatillah sakhat Allahu alayhi wa askhat alayhi nas. Right? The opposite is also true. If someone seeks to they seek to please people through the displeasure of Allah, then Allah becomes displeased with that person, and he also causes people to become displeased with them. Now, the most important people that, you know, that we care about as believers are the believers. You know what I mean? So, you know, we have to realize that when Allah loves a person, we know that he calls to Jibreel alayhi salam, and he announces to Jibreel alayhi salam that he loves that person, so therefore love him, right? And then Jibreel alayhi salam also announces that to all the malaika until that person becomes loved by the believers on earth. Okay, so subhanAllah, so ultimately, you seeking the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala is what causes your respect and honor to go up in this dunya, even if it doesn't happen straight away. But ultimately, your respect and honor will be raised as long as you are seeking the path of pleasing Allah, right? But if you choose the other path where you compromise your Islamic values, you know, you throw away your deen in order just to gain popularity or whatever it is, then you'll find ultimately you will lose the respect ultimately, right? So what I'm trying to say is that when we learn to live our lives truly seeking, the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala alone, this is the ultimate path to empowering yourself, because, you know, this is where Allah frees you from being worried about others. And so you get that internal strength that others don't have, right? Because you're connected to Allah. You don't care about what people think. So, you know, as long as I know what I'm doing is pleasing Allah, then I don't have to worry about the opinions of others. I'm not enslaved by that, right? So that helps you rise above all that, okay? All right, the ninth point is surrounding yourself with strong, you know, a strong support network. Basically, people who believe in you, right? Positive people who encourage you to strive for your best. Now, there's a reason why Allah Azza wa Jal told us to do things in Jama'ah. Look at all the things we do in Jama'ah. There's praying in Jama'ah, going to Hajj in Jama'ah, right? Eid prayer in Jama'ah, right? So there's a power we get in Jama'ah. Even in Surah Al-Asr, where does Allah Ta'ala say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wal-Asr, inna al-insana lafi khusr. By time, verily, mankind is in loss. Illa alladhina amanu wa aminu al-salihati wa tawasaw bil-haqqi wa tawasaw bil-sabr. Right? Except those who believe and do righteous deeds, and they cooperate with each other in haq, and they cooperate with each other in patience. All right? So we see that Allah made it a jama'ah. He made it not like something you're supposed to strive to do on your own. Okay? Like there's a spiritual energy you get through connecting with, you know, a strong network around you. All right? So that's why we shouldn't try to do things on our own, right? And, you know, even the self-help industry, they tell you that you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. All right. So the people around you do affect you a lot. You have to look for the right company that really, you know, brings you up and doesn't hold you back, you know. And I mean, even online, sisters, like, be conscious of who you're following online. Be conscious of who you are basically associating with yourself online, because all of that does have an effect on you. All right. All right, we come to the last point, which is the 10th point. And look, it is really the most important step towards empowering ourselves. And that is, you know, if you want to be strong, if you really want to be strong, then you have to maintain a strong connection with Allah Azza wa Jal. Okay, this is like number one and number 10 in itself, right? If you look at the examples of all of the women of the past, right, all these women throughout history, Islamic history, there's one thing that they all had, and that was that strong connection to Allah, Al-Qawi Al-Aziz, right? So don't expect, my dear sisters, to be strong if you don't even pray your prayers on time, right? Don't expect to be strong when you rarely recite the Quran and reflect upon it. You know, don't expect to be strong when you're far away from the dhikr of Allah and remembering Allah, right? So we need to know with all certainty that La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There is no strength and there is no power except with Allah, right? So all strength, all quwwa is from Allah, and it's with Allah. It's to be found with Allah, right? So none of us can be truly strong without seeking our strength from Allah Al-Qawi first and foremost. Okay, so if you're not doing that, if you're not being consistent in your salawat, you know, in your recitation of the Quran and memorization of the Quran and being with the Quran, living with the Quran, right, daily, and doing your adhkar and being close to Allah, always trying to remember Allah, then that means you're trying to rely upon yourself only. Okay? So the reality is that, you know, in conclusion, right, in reality, the reality is that the Muslim woman who is connected to Allah Azza wa Jal, she is the strongest woman on earth. Okay? But the most important thing, my dear sisters, is to teach yourself how to be that pillar of strength, number one, and then to focus on adopting the characteristics of those believing women of strength who came before us, inshallah. So ask Allah Ta'ala that, you know, what I've mentioned tonight, you know, it's helped someone out there, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And I ask Allah Ta'ala, you know, to make us, you know, to strengthen us, inshallah. And, you know, one of the du'as I particularly love to say is, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, bi rahmatika astaghithu, aslihni sha'ni kullahu wa la takilni ila nafsi tarfata 'ayn. Right? Calling upon Allah by His beautiful names, Al Hayy Al Qayyum, right? The ever living, the all sustaining. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, bi rahmatika astaghith, by your mercy, I seek your, you know, I seek refuge in you, right? Aslih li sha'ni kullahu, rectify all of my condition. Wala takilni ila nafsi tarfata 'ayn, and do not leave me to myself even for the blink of an eye. Like, this is such a powerful dua. And, you know, when we resort to Allah Ta'ala, this is where all strength is to be found, like I was saying. So I'll leave it there, my dearest sisters. وَأَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ وَلِي وَلَكُمْ وَسُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ نَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ نَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ.